The Song of Solomon is a very unusual book in the Bible. Now, I'm not in any way questioning its authenticity. It certainly is part of the canon of Scripture. But if you were to read it with a carnal eye, you may think, well, there are things there that we read about, and I'm not too sure that they should be in God's Word. The Bible, the Song of Solomon, is to be read with a spiritual eye. And it is a great blessing to God's people to read this, because in the Song of Solomon, or the Song of Songs, it's known. If you read in 1 Kings chapter 4, you will see that Solomon penned at least 1,005 songs. And this is the Song of Songs. This is the greatest song. Martin Luther, Reformer, called this book the High Song. And so it is in many ways. And it is in this book that we see a great union and communion between Christ, the bridegroom, and the church, who are the bride. And folks, as we commence another year, I have turned your attention to the beginning of chapter 2. It's very good for you and I to remember as this year commences that Christ still delights in his people. He still delights in you. It doesn't matter who else doesn't. He still delights in you. And here he is referring to his church or his people in verse 2 as the lily among the thorns. Thorns are the fruit of the curse. And man, because of that fall in the garden, is lost and in darkness and is represented here as a thorn. And the Christian there is a lily among the thorns. You might ask the question fairly this morning, does a lily seem out of place among the thorns? Well, whenever you remember what the Lord Jesus said, he did not say to his church, I send you forth among sheep all the time. It's a blessing indeed to be among God's people. And there's nothing like it. In fact, that's why we come. And we want to come. But he said, I send you forth among wolves. And as we reach out for another year and look to him, I want to say something which probably is you're familiar with. You may feel unappreciated by those that you have come into contact with, wherever it was, who are not saved. But please do remember this, that the lily, the church, the Christian, once was a thorn, but grace changed all of that. The Lord says here, I am the Rose of Sharon, and I am the lily of the valleys. But then he says, as the lily, not a lily, but as the lily among thorns, so is my love among the daughters. You see, he's saying here and reminding us that as the lily of the valley, there is a singular beauty about him. And that beauty is something that is now seen in her, in the church, because she is now as the lily among the thorns, not a thorn anymore, because the Lord has saved her. And he has a beauty, therefore, that I mentioned, that is now seen in her as a lily among the thorns. And in our own country that we love, we still need lilies among the thorns. And the lily of the valley, that is the Lord himself, is with us still. Hymn writer put it like this. He said, I found a friend in Jesus. He's everything to me. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. The lily of the valley, in him alone I see all I need to cleanse and make me fully whole. That's a great verse concerning him. I trust you know him. And if you don't, that today you will. He can transform you from a thorn into a lily for his glory. This morning, I want to speak to you in the simple title, The Lily Among the Thorns. And in doing that, we're going to look first of all at the appearance of the lily. Now, sometimes if you go to a place that sells flowers, petrol station, if you go to a place that sells flowers, you may see sometimes white lilies. At a certain time of the year in Northern Ireland, you will be familiar with orange lilies. You know what they are. But these lilies were known as the Lily of Palestine, was a scarlet colour. If you look there, please, in Song of Solomon chapter 5 and verse 13, it says there, his cheeks are as a bed of spices, as sweet flowers, his lips like lilies, dropping sweet smelling myrrh. Now, you think of lips, you don't think of something that is white or orange. You know that it is a red or a purple colour or a scarlet colour, the lips. And there's no doubt about that, the appearance of the lily. If you want to look at Matthew chapter 6 and what it says there in verse 29, the Lord has been speaking to his own people who, just like you, have been concerned about tomorrow and anxious about things that they perceive may lie ahead for them. And that's a natural thing. But it's good to look to the word for comfort and to know. He says there in verse 25, take no thought for your life. That does not mean live recklessly. But it really means leave it with me. Or to cast your need and your care upon me. And he goes on to say in verse 28, and why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, they toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you, that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. What's he referring to there when he says Solomon in all his glory? Well, we've already read about the reference in chapter 5 of Solomon, about Solomon's lips. But Solomon, as we know, in his appearance, dressed as the king, would have been dressed in scarlet and in a purple colour. That is the kind of thing that he wore. And the Lord here is saying that even with all of that, the appearance of the lily was more beautiful than the way he appeared in his royal robes. And therefore, when we think of the lily being lilies before men, that is what you and I are to be. Thinking of the appearance of the lily. It's a thing of beauty here. And the lily before men really means preaching by actions. Preaching by kindness. Preaching by a genuine care and love for our fellow man. And you and I perhaps are... think that our appearance, whatever God has placed us, wherever you're working tomorrow or Tuesday, whenever you go back, you may think, well, I'm quite insignificant there. And no one would really miss me if I wasn't there. And you may be a Christian that is walking with God, and I trust that you are, but you may be a lonely figure. You may be a lonely figure there. Well, there was one of the commentators said, grace struggling in loneliness is very choice in God's esteem. Grace struggling in loneliness is very choice in God's esteem. And maybe there's someone here in particular or listening, and you know exactly what we're saying. You want to be your best for the Lord. You feel lonely. You do feel like a lily among the thorns. But we're looking here at the appearance of this lily. The lily is a thing of beauty. We mentioned preaching by our actions, our kindness and our love. And a Christian walking with God is therefore, in a very real sense, a living gospel. Now, the lily here refers to the bride as the lily. It's being like him. Being like him. We were in Matthew's Gospel there in chapter 6. If we go back to chapter 5, you can see there the Lord in this great Sermon on the Mount. He's saying to us, he says, "You're the salt of the earth, but if the salt hath lost its savour, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men." Then he says this, "Ye are the light of the world." And the word light there means luminary, something that reflects. The greatest example possibly is the moon that borrows its light from the sun. And it reflects the light of the sun. It's a luminary. And ye are the luminaries of the world. And we can reflect and show that light for him. Now it says, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel." I know that people well-meaning have often read that and thought, well, that's just a bush. It's not, nothing to do with a bush. It's a bushel. It was a bushel, was a container. It was almost like a wooden bucket that held approximately 8 gallons worth, if you were to put water in it, but it was used for storing dry grain, for peas or grain or corn, that kind of thing. It was a bucket type thing that was used for that. And they're saying here, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bucket or put it under a bushel. Shows us, folks, that it can be hid. That reflecting of his beauty. I'm not interested in people seeing me, or you're not interested in them seeing you. We want to reflect something of the beauty of him. It's the appearance of the lily that matters. And the bucket here, or the bushel really, it could be anything that hides your potential. And you have potential, and so have I. Hide your potential to be those lights. The Lord here speaks in a very broad sense when he says, "Ye are the light of the world." He doesn't single a person out. Every believer. But that potential can be hid. It can be hid, first of all, by selfishness. Selfishness is an awful thing, but it is in the world. And there's always the danger of it trying to creep into your heart as a Christian and make you into a self-seeker and a selfish person. And just, you think of, we must in some ways look after ourselves, and we want to look after our families because we love them, but we don't never want to have a reputation of being selfish. I trust that our denomination is not selfish. Pour in, I don't know how much, into the Lord's work and into missions and into mission fields. Why? Because we want to see, want to be the light, want to reflect his beauty in what is done on the mission field. And it's the same here at home. But selfishness is something to be avoided. Open sin, what about that? Look back over 22. It is unfortunate, but some people got into difficulty with sin. And unfortunately, in some occasions, wallowed in it. And never got out of it. When you're wallowing in sin, you're not reflecting anything. You're just bringing the Lord's name down into the gutter, and we don't want to be there either. And that can be like putting your light under a bucket or under a bushel. Sin and selfishness and seeking the world's applause. That is something that's tripped up many people who had good potential, but they wanted applause, to be noticed and to be prominent. And the Lord doesn't work in that way through that kind of thing. He wants our light to be seen. And you and I, therefore, you can be as the lily. We are not the lily, but we're as the lily. We're as the lily, reflecting his light. And wherever you are, men and women, and wherever the Lord has placed you in his providence and your work, you are there as the lily to reflect his light. It's as simple as that. And the color of the lily, remember we said it was scarlet color. Surely that color speaks of redemption's blessings. And redemption's blessings are something that you and I want to reflect. We don't want to reflect health and wealth gospel because we can't. Of course, we want people to be healthy. We can't do that. In the world today, there is that health and wealth gospel, and it seems to appeal to people's thinking, and then they come and join themselves along with that, and then they realize it's all empty, that it's not in the Bible. But what are we speaking about then when we reflect his life? Well, over there in Ephesians, when the apostle was writing to the church there, said in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places." See, if you seek for spiritual blessings, then what you reflect will be something that will represent him. Because spiritual blessings, if you look at the chapter here, look at verse 6, for instance, "to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace." Reflect, you're thinking here of the color of the lily, a scarlet color, speaking of redemption's blessings, the blessing of justification. Being before the Lord as though you had never sinned. And if you're not saved, that can be your experience today. You will never in life have a better one than be to know that you're justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Another blessing is adoption, being brought into his family, lifted out of sin, brought in as a son and a daughter of the Lord. Blessings of justification and adoption and sanctification. If you look at this book of Ephesians, you will see that outlined very clearly by the apostle as well. And of course, this sanctification is an ongoing work, going from victory to victory and making ground with the Lord. It's so important we do that as Christians. And yes, we have all concerns for people that we know who may not be doing that. But we must do it ourselves and pray for them that they too will be making ground with the Lord. But this is what we shine, what we reflect. We reflect what God has done for us and what he is doing for us. And that is the appearance of the lily. So therefore, whoever you are and however small you might feel, maybe this past year someone in the world, or maybe someone who shouldn't have said it at all, has made you feel small and insignificant. Well, you're as the lily among the thorns. Remember that on Tuesday? Go back to your work again. The appearance of the lily. But I would like you to notice briefly the fragrance of the lily. This lily, actual lily of the valley in Palestine, the red-coloured one, as it lives and comes to full blossom, it emits a very definite, very sweet perfume or fragrance, something that is extremely noticeable. Now, there's those candle shops, Yankee Candle they're called or whatever. I can't stand the smell. I don't go to church like them, but I do not like them at all. And maybe sometimes you have smelled some kind of perfume and you didn't like it at all, and it was really, really strong. Well, these lilies, they have a very, very strong fragrance. In fact, here's something that has been recorded time and again. It is said that when the flowers, these lilies, are in full bloom, that hunting with dogs stops for a while, because the fragrance of the lilies is so strong in the woods and so on that the scent of the game is lost, and the dogs cannot trace their game. Therefore, the scent or the fragrance of these lilies, it's a distraction. And you know, as I was getting ready for today, I thought of that. I never really thought of that before. The world has many distractions for us. But I'm to be a distraction. I'm to take people's attention away, just as this fragrance would take the attention of the hunting dog away from the scent of the partridge or whatever it happened to be. To be that distraction. If you look there in Song of Solomon chapter 12, makes mention of that. It says there, sorry, chapter 1, Song of Solomon 1 and verse 12, halfway down the verse, my spikenard sendeth forth a smell thereon. And the thought here is of fragrance. And you think to me, well, what, you know, back in my day when I was a little bit younger, it used to be all brute or old spice. You may think, well, what are you talking about, minister, today? Well, let's say, for instance, the fragrance, that distraction, the fragrance of devotion. That's one thing. The fragrance of devotion. Over there in 1 Samuel 16, I'll give you a moment just to turn there. 1 Samuel chapter 16. Thinking of what we just mentioned, we wouldn't have time this morning to go into all of these, but there is the fragrance of devotion. Then it says here in 1 Samuel 16, and let's look at verse 11. It says, and Samuel said unto Jesse, are here all thy children? And he said, there remaineth yet the youngest, of course, as David. And behold, he keepeth the sheep. And Samuel said unto Jesse, send and fetch him, for we will not sit down till he come hither. If you look at verse 13, David is out now. He's met with Samuel. Verse 13, then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of the brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. David was now anointed. David was different. And folks, when you and I look to the Lord to fill us with his Holy Spirit, there is something about the fragrance of devotion that makes you stand out as the lily. As the lily. People who would never have any real interest in your gospel, this kind of life will not be lost in the end. And in 2022, just like 2021, there's, and I'm not being critical because I've got a very deceitful heart of my own, but there's a notable decline in this devotion. This devotion, David was now, the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and the subsequent history speaks for itself. His dealing with Goliath, and not only that, all the other giants that he had to deal with to get to Goliath, to deal with Saul and his reasoning, with his jealous brothers, and all of that. But a man or woman who is devoted to doing what they can for the Lord are like David. And in that devotion, there can be affection and action, and there can be noble aims. And as we look out into 2023, may the Lord give us all that. Affection one for another, loving the Lord, genuine concern. If we fall into sin, we don't expect you to come along and say, oh, it's okay, I'll be on your side. I don't want you on my side. You need to get back up and back into blessing. And that is true affection one for another. But action, men and women, there's always plenty of room for action for the Lord. And our aims is to see a work done for the Lord. So you think here of the fragrance of this lily. It was very significant. We've been looking here in Solomon 1 and 12 at the spikenard. And also, for an example, looked at 1 Samuel chapter 16. But I want you to go back, please, to Solomon again. And at this time, you would go maybe to chapter 4. Still thinking here about the fragrance and how it was a distraction and how, you and I are to be that distraction in a positive sense for the Lord. Towards the end of chapter 4, we come there to where the church is described as a garden enclosed, verse 12, is my sister. But you will see in that garden, it says in verse 14, this regarding the different spices with perfumes and fragrance. It says, spikenard and saffron, calamus and cinnamon, with all trees of frankincense, myrrh and aloes, with all chief spices. Now, I want to say that the things that's been mentioned here in verse 14, they're not off-putting. They're not off-putting, but people would notice them. And the importance of that is brought out in the prayer of verse 16. Awake, O north wind. This is a prayer asking the Lord. Awake, O north wind, and come thou south. Blow upon my garden, that the spices thereof may flow out, that they may be shared with those on the other side of the wall that are walking down the road and don't come into the garden, that they may flow out. And that is, you and I would want, in order for our influence to be something for good, we would want the Lord to come and to enable us, our fragrance, to go out over the wall to others, to flow out in the children's work, be it in Sunday school or children's meeting, in the Bible class, in the regular meetings of the church, in the special efforts that we make, in all of that. Think of the fragrance of the lily. It was a distraction to the hunting dogs. And the main reason, or one of the main reasons, well, there are so many, church is not attractive to the world today. And we say, oh, that's just the world. Well, in some ways, that is the way of the world. But you think of the Lord's day. It more and more has been treated like any other day. And the unsaved world expect more. They expect more. They expect to see that devotion. You think of the great enthusiasm for his work in days gone by, when people had to go along in the snow and they had to do all kinds of hardship just in order to share the gospel. There was great enthusiasm. And you think of love for him. Love for him. Someone said you can give without loving, but you can't love without giving. That's true. Whoever you love, you want to give them something. Give them all you can. And if we love him, we will want to give to him. And in that way, the fragrance can be shared. I want to quickly turn your attention here, still on this point, to Zechariah, if you would. And I will be quick here. Zechariah chapter 8. This is shortly after the time of the Babylonian exile. It says here, in verse 23, thus saith the Lord of hosts, in those days it shall come to pass that 10 men shall take hold out of all languages of the nations, even shall take hold of the skirt of him that is a Jew. Strange thing to do. They would take hold of this robe, saying, we will go with you, for we have heard that God is with you. What are they looking for? They're looking for security and refuge and safety and protection. And it is, we have heard that the God is with you. In other words, the individual here was like a magnet for others. And what a testimony when the church is like that. And people who are lost in their sin will look upon us and they'll see that fragrance of devotion. And they will see that there's a person who once was a thorn and now they're a lily. And then they will say in their heart, I want this. We will go with you, for we have heard that God is with you. There's an invitation to you, unsaved. Come with us. Because God is with his people. And I ask myself the question at the end of this point, am I a distraction in a positive sense? Or am I not a distraction at all? Am I a distraction from what the world offers? Is there any fragrance of Christ about me? I'm praying that there will be this year in 2023. There is the appearance of the lily, the fragrance of the lily, but I must be very, very brief. There is the abundance of the lily. in some areas, there were so many lilies, or there are so many of these lilies, that it almost looks like a carpet. The plants, the flowers were approximately 2 inches in diameter, and you can imagine how many of them there were to cover the forest floor, that it looks like a carpet. But God here singles out one. He doesn't say that, you know, you're like the lilies among the thorns. There's a message here regarding the importance of the individual. So I mentioned earlier, was the lily out of place among the thorns? And maybe you've been thinking about that. Dear Christian, you're not out of place after all. Now, some are, through their own bitterness and disobedience and self-will. But if you're walking with the Lord, you're not out of place after all. And if your heart is set to live for him, you've conquered all the things that can easily be a snare to men, like pride and like the desire for to be noticed, all that. And you just want to get on with it. You want to get on with it. Well, you're the very person that the Lord would be speaking to today. And I said here the abundance of lilies, because we're not living in revival days. When revival comes, it seems that there's an abundance of lilies. But not now. Not now. And you could be that single lily that the message is for this morning. And Charles Haddon Spurgeon asked a question, and with this I'll be done. He asked the question, why does God put lilies among thorns? And here is the answer that he gave as well. He says it is because he works singular transformations by their lines or means. That is the lilies. He works singular transformations and turns thorns into lilies. Turns thorns into lilies. It's a wonderful thing in your whole lifetime to be involved in some way in the winning of one person to the Lord. And let's remember, we're not worthy of anything. I don't deserve anything. But the Lord gives everyone the privilege of being involved in some way in the winning of one person to the Lord. The Lord turning, we can't turn people. The Lord turning a thorn into a lily. And as you and I look out into this year, folks, let's remember that he is the lily of the valley, or the valleys. But we are as the lily of the valleys. And I trust that the Lord will help us and enable us in these days to glorify him and to seek to live for him.